You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. And yes, we are indeed trying to save the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, speaking of doing things well, let me just tell you about my friends at ZLA Solutions. I gotta be honest, ZLA is one of the best around that I've heard of getting people back to work. And that's big. That's a big deal. I mean, we may have one of the best unemployment rates in the entire nation here in Alabama, which is good. But there are still folks looking for jobs, and there are jobs still to be had. Putting the two together is what ZLA is good at. So ZLA Solutions with, just literally can, if you're looking for a job, you can go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got them posted. You can individually, as an individual employee, find a job on their website, good paying jobs. But if you're an employer and you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce, you need to hire a whole crew. Maybe you need to hire just an entire shift. They can do it. All the drug testing, the background checks, basically the recruiting for you, they can do it all. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. At ZLA Solutions, they are good at what they do. And they like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. That's their goal in life, is to make your business better. Check them out at ZLAUSA.com. And please tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, so moving forward now, number one on the Triple Dipper, I kind of tongue-in-cheek called it the SCOTUS SMOTUS. Well, you always hear about, he did smite me. Well, how about you smote somebody? Well, so that's what we're talking about. SCOTUS came out with a smote upon the issues. If you are a conservative, this was your week in the court. And by the way, all of you liberals that are having your freak out, your meltdowns right now, we're going to march upon you, we're going to demand certain things. And by the way, elected officials are having a complete meltdown. Liberal elected officials are literally raging and making no sense. Maxine Waters, oh my gosh, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, all of them. It's been a nut roll today to watch. Oh, the squad is, oh my gosh. I mean, the first thing that happened too was AOC runs down there to protest right there in front of the Supreme Court, and it's just epic awful. However, conservatives have also had our days. We've had our days where we're like, Obergefell, same-sex marriage, we just did that? Or how about Obamacare? We thought we had it done, and then John Roberts decided to revise what was not even in the pleadings and turn it into a tax as opposed to a healthcare mandate. Unbelievable. Well, today, this week actually, it was the conservatives. Article on thehill.com dated yesterday pointed out, and this is what caught my attention. I actually had prepared for this particular time on the air with you on all the SCOTUS decisions, but it didn't know that it was going to be as far as it was. However, TheHill.com reported on June 22nd, the Supreme Court has added an extra decision day on Friday. This was not normal. They had not planned on, I take it back, they would not normally have planned to be releasing these opinions today. It's not one of their days to do it, except today, they just did. Here's the interesting thing is, did you know there's another case, though, that's still to be decided, which may or may not make it into this term, all right? It deals with Alabama. Do you recall back in January, February of this year, the redistricting took place and the Democrats turned around and filed suit against the redistricting of the congressional lines in the state of Alabama? It became a national case. It went to the Supreme Court of the United States because a lower court, a three-judge panel in the lower court, said, you know what? We agree. And basically, we're going to invalidate the congressional lines just a couple of months, I think 90 days, before the election, the primary election. Well, that was going to throw some people into chaos. And the Supreme Court said, whoa, 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 whoa. No, we're going to enjoin things right now, and we're going to hear the merits of the case. But for right now, we're not going to change your congressional district lines this close to an election. Not going to do it. Well, that was good. We appreciated that. However, the case still remains. So thehill.com reports the high court is also anticipated to weigh in soon on Alabama's newly drawn congressional map, which the plaintiffs in the case argue is discriminatory. Black voters make up 27% of the population in the state, but are a majority in just one of the seven newly drawn districts. While a lower court had instructed the map be redrawn, the Supreme Court ruled early this year it could be left in place until the justices issue a final ruling. I talked to my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty today. He said his understanding is they are still going to hold oral arguments on that case, but we have a major, impactful case dealing with Alabama's politics still before the Supreme Court of the United States. See how that goes. Yeah. The other thing that happened this week when the SCOTUS smote us is the bipartisan, or excuse me, the gun control bill out of New York. It literally was 111 years old, I believe. The state of New York was requiring citizens who wanted a concealed carry permit to have to justify it. You had to state a proper cause, was the term being used. You had to give proper cause for why you should be allowed to have a permit to carry concealed in the state of New York. Well, the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin case went before the Supreme Court, and that ruling came out just yesterday. Story here on the Post-Millennial. I talked about it some yesterday. In a 6-3 opinion, a 135-page 6-3 opinion, the majority, and it was written by Justice Clarence Thomas, the majority decided, you know what, enough of that. The Second Amendment is what it is. You don't have a right to have someone declare their purpose for carrying a firearm. So that changed everything. Now, but here's a deep irony, and in case you haven't heard, I'll go ahead and tell you. Here's the deep irony. In fact, it's kind of funny because I thought of it being deeply ironic, and then lo and behold, CNN ran a piece this morning titled "Supreme Court Steps on the Senate's Generational Statement on Guns with One of Its Own." So at the same time the Supreme Court of the United States was defending the right to bear arms, rhinos in the Senate and then today in the House decided to go ahead and, you know, act on gun control. So the Senate passed its bipartisan gun control bill, you know, basically brought it to a procedural vote within 1 hour of it being introduced, which is just called ramming it through. There's no other way to call it. The House took it up today, and I saw just online, let me pull it back up to see if I still got the page, the tab open. I believe I do. Yep, there it is. House passes landmark gun legislation, sending it to Biden to sign into law. So the House passed the most sweeping legislation designed to prevent gun violence, according to MSN News, sending the bill to President Joe Biden's desk to be signed into law. This is after the Senate had 15 Republicans join the Democrats to enter into gun control legislation. Meanwhile, the SCOTUS is over here expanding gun rights and doing away with gun control laws, while the legislative body is over here enacting additional legislation to restrict, some of which I guarantee you, I mean, some of it was just like, whatever. You know, they're looking at it, you're going, oh, okay, you're going to put money into mental health and you're going to call it gun control? That's called having a straw man. That's getting out there and sort of stretching what you just did and considering it gun control. I guess depending on what you want to do with mental health. Enhanced penalties for gun criminals. Okay, I thought you were all about letting people go, but now you're going to be tough on crime because you're in the wake of the Uvalde shooting. Funding for mental health and health. Okay. Enhanced penalties for gun criminals. Okay. But here's the thing I told you yesterday is going to wind up getting them in trouble. It has incentives, financial incentives to states to pass red flag laws. Red flag laws being those laws that say that whether or not you've been convicted, if there's reasonable grounds for someone to believe that you should not be in the possession of a firearm because you might be a risk, you might be a hazard, you might be a scary person, you might take the wrong kind of medication, you might be under a lot of stress, you might be going through a hard time. I don't know what they're going to, I mean, every state's going to wind up having their own different view. And so the bipartisan group of Republican senators joined with the Democrats to put something in place that's going to be right back before the Supreme Court again, I guarantee you. But SCOTUS did smote us by taking care of the New York gun control laws. Religious liberty, that case is still coming. We've got a situation right now with a football coach who's not been allowed to pray on the field. And that case is Kennedy v. Bremerton School District. It's coming. It's coming, man. There's also a major climate change case. And then something that I didn't even know was out there until I saw it. CNN reports that one of the decisions this week deals with a North Carolina case in which North Carolina conservative legislators were mad because their attorney general would not go to bat and fight for something they believe was important, and they believe they had the right to then file suit if he wouldn't. And, of course, the liberal attorney general said, no, no, you can't do that. The Supreme Court of the United States says, oh, yes, they can. So the General Assembly, the people of North Carolina, have authorized the leaders of their legislature, it says, to duly defend enacted state statutes against constitutional challenge. Originally, a federal court must respect that kind of, ordinarily, a federal court must respect that kind of sovereign choice and not assemble presumptions against it. Meaning that if your state legislature believes it has a cause and the AG won't take it up, they can take it up in court. That's preserving the rights of your elected officials to do the things they were elected to do. And then the last one, as SCOTUS SMOTUS this week, literally was the court struck down Maine's ban on using public funds at religious schools. Maine has a school choice law, like Alabama should have, that literally allows the tax dollars to follow a child, except they got wrapped around the axle with letting it go to private Christian schools. Well, school choice is school choice. And the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that parents not only should have a say in their child's education when the state laws make that available, but they should not be limited in choosing a Christian school as the recipient of those tax dollars. What a week in the Supreme Court of the United States. Hey, I'd love to hear from some of y'all. We're going to go to our break right now. When we get back from this break, phone lines are open, 866-494-9866. How do you feel about the Roe v. Wade case being overturned? How do you feel about the rest of the things that we've talked about on the Supreme Court? How do you feel about the fact that there are challenges to elections that are going up this weekend that literally the state party, unelected officials, but yet party officials, may have to make a decision? Your thoughts? Call it in, 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right. Listen, it's 4:26 p.m. Short segment because I did run long on the last one, but let me do this. See, I got a caller on line 5, so let me just go grab that real quick. Hey, it's Jeff from Indiana. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Phil.
Good, good, good. Hey, what's on your mind?
I'm worried about the chaos that's going to ensue after this, and with all these crazy Democrats sitting there basically calling for violence, you know, and then they're not going to quash it if it happens. I don't know. They need to be calling out the National Guard now, and these police forces need to go on standby. And if things get bad, I'm afraid we might have to do some Kyle Rittenhouses on some of these people that have armed guards standing in front of the businesses and let them know we mean business, that you're not going to burn us out.
Well, I don't know if you heard my monologue at the beginning of the show, but I even mentioned that I think the American public has had it with riots and had it with people feeling like they can go ahead and take their grievances to burn down property and damage people and kill people. I'd hate to say it, but at some point there's going to be a group of citizens trying to defend their own lives or property. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly really, really quick. And you know, we had this one group called Jane's Revenge, I think they're called, and they're calling for what they call a night of rage. And they're already vandalizing pro-life facilities and pregnancy centers.
And the trouble is, there's going to be more people getting killed by not stopping this early. If it only takes a couple people getting shot you know, knowing that they can't do this, it'll stop the whole, you know, nationwide. And, you know, and that's the trouble is we mealy mouth say, oh, you know, it's okay. And then if they, and the ones that do get caught doing things, that, you know, they'll get a little slap on the wrist and get released again. So it's just crazy.
Yeah, we had the Attorney General for the state of Alabama here today, Steve Marshall. He released a statement supporting the Supreme Court's decision and saying that any and all abortion centers in Alabama need to shut down immediately. But then he also went on to say anybody who commits a crime in response to this will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and the AG's office will take it, you know, they'll take it on as a project.
Yeah, that's in a red state like Alabama. What we're going to do in these blue states that they won't prosecute anybody, basically.
Well, and that's a great point. And, you know, right there in our nation's capital too, in D.C., that's where the center of gravity is right now for all of this. And we just had today even Maxine Waters, basically, you know, and AOC and Cori Bush, all calling for people to go to the streets and just basically inciting violence as elected officials. And I guarantee you there's not going to be a January 6th style commission on that.
Yeah, and they should be held accountable. I mean, that if that's not inciting a riot, I don't know what is.
I totally agree. All right, Jeff, we're up against a break, brother. You take care. Be careful on the roads, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, take care. All right, folks. The phone lines are open. What do you think? What are you seeing? How do you feel about all this? 866-494-9866. Quick break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 4:35 p.m. It's about go-home time. It's a Friday afternoon, man. Friday afternoon. And by the way, let me just say, enjoy this day. Those of you who have been in the fight, or at the very least have had sentiments towards pro-life all these years, enjoy this day. Enjoy this weekend. And you might want to celebrate, just saying, you might want to have a special breakfast tomorrow morning on a Saturday, and I'm going to suggest Just Love Coffee Cafe. In fact, it's kind of funny. My stepmom called last night. So I just wanted you to know, she said, I'm one of my nieces was in town. She said, I took her to breakfast, and we thought, where are we going to go? And she said, you know what? Let's go to that Just Love Coffee. And she said, I had one of those womlets, and I think she said she had a mocha latte. And she said, and I'm going to tell you right now, you are right, it is good. So anyway, stepmom is now a believer in Just Love Coffee Cafe. Check them out. It might be worth your time for, you know, pick up something to eat on the way home tonight or have that amazing Saturday morning breakfast just celebrating a weekend after a week like this one. Yeah, I would check them out. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison and the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. My family goes there, obviously. Y'all should, too. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, we are coming down to the end of our time. I'm gonna step over into my topic that I've been sitting on for days, national insecurity. But if you want to call in, I'll still take calls, 866-494-9866. Curious what your thoughts are on Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, other decisions from the Supreme Court this week, election challenges. We've talked about those today. But now I'm going to move over into national insecurity. And I got to ask you, did you see the thing? Copper, did you see it? By the way, Copper, did you see the thing with President Biden had that little cheat sheet in his hands? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, it's one thing to have an itinerary. This was not an itinerary. It was he literally had a cheat sheet in his hand, Copper, that told him when to sit, when to stand, who to talk to, and it made sure, like, every time it said you, it had it in all caps so that he couldn't miss it. And he's the commander-in-chief in charge of the nuclear codes. Just saying. Just putting that out there. So, yeah, Copper's answering the phone, so we'll go ahead and take that call here in 1 second, but that's my point, national insecurity. The military we have in the United States is the greatest military in the face of the earth. And why they would want to dismantle its ability to, you know, defend the interests of the nation, to put the wood to the enemy, if you will, why they would want to diminish that with constant, you know, wokeisms and constant tearing down of who we are as a nation and constant threatening, if you don't get your vaccine, you're going to lose your career. And at the same time, we're looking at the commander-in-chief is a guy who has to have, and I got it right here, New York Post. You ready? New York Post, dated yesterday. I could have pulled the story from like 15 different locations. I just grabbed the one off New York Post. Title of it is, You Take Your Seat. Very specific cheat sheet reminds Biden how to act. President Biden on Thursday inadvertently held up a comically detailed cheat sheet prepared by his staff instructing the gaffe-prone leader of the free world to take your seat, all caps, and to limit his remarks to 2 minutes. Who tells the President of the United States, you sit down and then you speak, but only for 2 minutes? I mean, I would think he's earned the right as President of the United States to sit when he, by God, feels like it, to speak for as long as he wants to. A photographer snapped an image of the document when Biden held it up backwards at a meeting with wind industry executives, which is another story, by the way. I'll tell you about that in a minute. The prepared instructions for Biden titled Offshore Wind Drop-By Sequence of Events. Tell Biden to enter the Roosevelt Room and say hello to the participants. Then the paper says, you take your seat. You give brief comments, 2 minutes. When reporters depart, you ask Liz Shuler, president of AFL-CIO, a question, and then you thank participants and you depart. Unreal. Here's my point. National insecurity is in part based upon the fact that he is our commander-in-chief, and this administration is pursuing things that have nothing to do with the national defense within our Department of Defense. Let me jump over to a caller real quick. I got a guy on line five. Yeah, Steve from Tony. Hey, Steve, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Okay, I love your show. Y'all do a good job. But basically, it's the abortion ruling. Look, okay, this ain't a thing in the world but payback by Donald Trump for what they've done to this man, for what they've put this man through, and what they're still trying to do to this man. He trumped them, for lack of a better phrase. They just got trumped.
Well, they did. I mean, yeah. I mean, he doesn't sit on the court and make the decision. But I don't know if you saw it or not, Steve, though. I thought it was one of the most gracious things I've seen a politician say. He was asked today, President Trump was, how he felt about the decision that he had a part in by appointing these people. And he said, God did it. And I thought that was a great response.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But however you want to look at it, they got just exactly what they deserve. But have a good day and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you, man. You have a great day, too. Thanks for being in the audience. All right, flipping back now to my topic. By the way, call in 866-494-9866. We will take those calls. I want to hear what your thoughts are. But so I'm sitting here looking at a copy of the Department of Defense's Equity Action Plan. I printed the whole thing out. Here it is in my hot little hands. Lots of papers. Seal of the DOD on the front cover. Department of Defense Equity Action Plan. The DOD, I'm looking at page 14 right now. The DOD policy prohibits discrimination on the basis of gender identity or identification as transgender. It provides a means by which individuals who meet applicable standards may access into the military in their self-identified gender. Provides a means by which transitioning service members may obtain gender-affirming medical treatment and recognition of their self-identified gender and seeks to protect the privacy of all service members. The department is taking steps to fully implement this policy. The DOD is all in. Right now, climate change and gender identity are two of the biggest things that could happen in the DOD because they're existential threats to the nation. This is what we're dealing with, and yet at the same time, you've also got over here, it's not just the DOD's Equity Action Plan. I mean, when you see things like what I'm about to describe to you, you go, okay, it came all the way from the DOD. They've got an Equity Action Plan for transgender transitionings to their gender-affirming treatments. Well, look at this one, Postmillennial, dated June 18th. The U.S. military marches in front of a pride flag, no American flag in sight. The official Twitter account for the U.S. Air Force recruiting posted a photo on June 17th of several cadets jogging while one in the back held the LGBTQ Pride rainbow flag with no American flag to be seen. Pride in all who serve, the post read, accompanied by the rainbow flag emoji. This representation of America's elite flying warriors serving under a flag other than the flag of the United States raises some doubts about the priorities currently being held by military leadership. You think? Well, I think it was, I think it's actually, there's no questions. Because before I read you that article for the Post-Millennial about the rainbow flag while these troops are, you know, out there on doing PT, I just told you they have a gender equity plan at the DOD, an equity action plan. Wow. In the meantime, though, what's happening in the world? When I say national insecurity, how about this one, the freebeacon.com? Freebeacon.com, dated June 21st. Iran renews its threats to assassinate Mike Pompeo. I kid you not. You're not hearing much about this in the mainstream media, are you? Freebeacon.com reports Iran is renewing threats to assassinate former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, prompting a fresh warning from the State Department that any attempt to take the life of a current or former U.S. official will prompt severe consequences. An Arabic-language Twitter account affiliated with the hardline Iranian regime stated during the weekend that Pompeo, who served under Donald Trump, should fear for his life. Quote, live in fear, liar, end quote, the account tweeted, alongside an image of Pompeo with crosshairs on his forehead. The post indicates that Iran wants Pompeo dead as payback for the 2020 drone strike that killed Iranian terror leader Qasem Soleimani. It says, make no mistake, the U.S. State Department said, the United States will protect and defend its citizens. Well, I hope so, but that's the world in which we're living right now, where foreign governments don't feel like they have a care in the world about threatening our former Secretary of State. Meanwhile, the gender equity plan is in full swing, and our troops are being used on recruiting posters or recruiting websites, jogging in front of the rainbow flag, because that's one of the most important things that we can convey, is that we celebrate transgenderism, because that's how we win wars. Now, some people will say, well, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can celebrate diversity, equity, and inclusion and still win wars. Can we? I hope so. Because, see, priorities and training mean something. And the mindset of a warrior means something. And yet the world continues on. How about this? Continuing with Iran, June 21st, Jerusalem Post reports Iranian warships buzz past U.S. ships in a near miss. So these are these small armed gunboats that Iran is notorious for. In the Straits of Hormuz, we had two of our ships, the patrol ship USS Scirocco and the fast transport vessel, the U.S. naval ship Choctaw County. They were actually in the Persian Gulf. I thought they were in the Straits of Hormuz, I believe. And it says that on a routine transit, when three Iranian gunboats approached the Scirocco head-on, coming within 50 yards of the Choctaw County, and diverting only when the Scirocco issued an audible warning signal and deployed warning flares. In other words, they feel no compunction about buzzing our warships. None. They feel no compunction as a nation to openly call for the assassination of our former Secretary of State. Meanwhile, at the same time, 1945.com, dated June 18th, is Iran on the brink of building an ICBM? Is Iran marching towards an ICBM? On June 15th, the Islamic Republic of Iran acknowledged its plans to conduct a test launch of its new solid-fueled rocket in the near future. One day prior, satellite images captured by Maxar Technologies depicted a rocket positioned on a desert launch pad that has been used by the regime to launch tests in the past. It goes on to say that while they have had unsuccessful launches in the past, they are looking at the possibility that this could be an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, which is part of Iran's dream. Buzzing our warships, threatening our former Secretary of State, and preparing a test launch of what might be an ICBM. Meanwhile, our president needs instruction sheets on when to stand, when to sit, when to speak, how long to speak. And at the same time, the gender equity plan is in full swing, which gives the recruiting for the U.S. Air Force the ability to post pictures of troops jogging without an American flag, but with a rainbow flag. I call it national insecurity. I'll cover a little more on that when I get back. Let's go ahead and take a break, Copper. We'll come back from this break and wrap up the day, wrap up the week. You know, we may have stuff going on, stuff that we get frustrated with, but I'm going to tell you right now, this has been an amazing week for conservatism, and it's because of our Supreme Court of the United States, and I am thankful. I'm extremely thankful. All right, folks, call in if you want to, 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Time now, 4:55 p.m. We are winding down the day. Copper, what's that call on line one? What was that? That was
Yes, Randall wanted to wish Charlene a happy birthday.
There it is.
Yeah.
That is true. It's the lovely Charlene's birthday weekend. I'll tell you a funny story on that too, Copper. Yeah, I actually ran out today to get her some flowers.
Oh, nice.
And I came back to the office and she was there. she caught me with the flowers. I was like, nice. Man, you're not supposed to see them yet, baby. Anyway, yeah, we're gonna do some birthday celebrating this weekend for the lovely Charlene.
But not the shooting range, right?
No, we probably won't go to a shooting range. Probably more likely, well, I take it back. She'll get to choose what she wants to do. I don't think it's going to be the shooting range, so.
Probably.
I got a caller on line three, Copper. Let me grab that real quick. Line three, Georgina, I believe it is, from Elkmont. How you doing today?
Dorothy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How are you?
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I was hearing a little echo here when I talked.
That happens sometimes. If you're on a Bluetooth or a speakerphone, just don't use that.
Not.
But
if,
in the meantime, just go ahead and try to talk on through it. What's on your mind?
Biden signed an executive order saying that the Second Amendment is not absolute. And I don't know exactly what that means or what kind of what do you know about that?
Yeah, he didn't actually sign an executive order. What he did was he made statements saying that no amendment is absolute. What he was trying to imply was we can take legislative action to take the Second Amendment out, which is the only thing they've got. I mean, the Second Amendment is an amendment to the Constitution put in place by Congress, and the only way they can undo that is to have Congress do it again. But he's not going to get it. It's just Biden being Biden.
Yeah, that story you brought up earlier about the note card, yeah, like what room to go in, where to sit, and say, you know, thanks and all that stuff. Yeah,
right.
I saw that story, and you brought up the person that carries the nuclear codes. Yeah, there was a story I also saw that one of Putin's ex-aides that had carried his nuclear codes, his briefcase, he's been found in a puddle of blood. Did you hear about that one?
I have not heard that one, no. But
okay.
I wouldn't want to – I don't think anybody who works for Putin is safe.
Nope.
All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate you. You have a great weekend, all right?
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, we're going to wrap things up here. Let me just say this, too. I'll just go ahead and set aside the rest of that that national insecurity piece of the triple dipper. I think I covered enough of it, gave you enough to think about there. Let me wind up our day with the last couple of minutes we have and just celebrate life for a moment. And I want to point out, too, if you are listening to this and you're one of those who may have made the decision at some point in your past to have an abortion and you've lived with that regret, just understand that God is all forgiving, all right? He is a sovereign God who loves us in spite of ourselves. There's nothing we can do to make him stop loving us. And so I say that just as a parting comment for those of you that may be dealing with abortion from the other side of it. Just understand this. There is nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of a God who is so forgiving that he would look aside from everything you could have possibly done if you'll just turn to him. And I say that with all sincerity. At the same time, I'm also telling you, I'm celebrating right now. I mean, I literally got to the point that I was almost emotional when I heard that decision came out today. As somebody who has stood on the well of the state Senate and fought for legislation that would celebrate life and preserve life and try to promote this state as a pro-life state, it is a victory for us today. And to all of you who got in the trenches, Copper, that means you too, to all of you who got in the trenches over the years to push for life, to push for the opportunity to say that we as a nation stand for life in the womb, thank you. Thank you for going ahead of us. And for those of you who prayed, continue to pray, because right now the unrest is beginning, but at the same time, we're celebrating. Y'all have an amazing weekend. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Copper and I back here at 2 on Monday. Coming up next, you got Mark Levin. We'll see you then.